Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Tes Zayin. We're holding the fourth line from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins with Travayu Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. To understand the next Gemara better, I think we should just do a quick review of what we learned yesterday, starting on Tes Vav Amud Beis. As you recall, we had a machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And the Gemara said, "B'mai kamiflegi." This is roughly seven lines from the bottom of the Amud. What's the machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? B'asra safik kamiflegi. If one gives a hasra to a person who's about to do an isur, and I don't know for sure that he's going to be over the isur, it's hasra safik. Hasra safik is a machlok. Is that a good, valid hasra or not? Marasav Asra Safik Shmasra, Marasav Asra Safik Loishmasra, the Azul Tamay. Where do we find the Machloikis Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, the Itmar? Three lines from the bottom. Shvua Sha'oichal Kikar Zehayoim. A person makes a Shvua in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to go and eat this Kikar, this loaf of bread, or a portion thereof during the day. And he made that Shvua, so he has to Mekayim the Shvua. Otherwise, he's going to be Oivan Isser Lav. Of Lisi Shava Bishmila Shaker. So what happens? A whole day passes and he didn't eat it. What happens now? We schlep the guy into Bezin and we say there were two Adam that were there, Bishas Maisa, when he made this Shvua. And they told him, Rabid, you better keep this Shvua, because if you don't, you're going to go and get Malkis, because you're being Oivra Lav. Okay, and eventually he was over the lav, he did not eat. Will he in fact get Malkis or not? So everyone agrees, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Amar Travayu, Ein Eloika, no Malkis. Why not? He's over Issa Lav. Says the Gemara for two solid reasons. Rabbi Yochanan Oimer Ein Eloika Mishum, it's a lav she'ein boi maisa, because how was he over the lav? By doing nothing. It's not because he affirmatively ate something, forget, if he would have eaten something, that would have been great. He made a shvua she'oichel, and he did not eat. So he was over the lav by omission, as opposed to commission. So therefore, says the Gemara, it's a lav she'im ha'maisa, lav she'im ha'maisa, ain't like it a lav. Shlokish oimer, ain't like mishim lav esra ha'safik. Why is esra ha'safik? Because every time we remind the fellow, Yankel, you better go and eat from the kikar, otherwise you're going to be oiver. And each time he says, I got plenty of time, we have a whole day ahead of us. And for hasra to be chal and to be effective, the Gemara Masechtas Ksuba says it has to be betoich de dibur of the maisa aveira, that the person is about to be oiver the aveira. And he says, I got time, I'm going to eat in an hour, in 2 hours, 3 hours. Now, theoretically, you could try to chop him at the last 30 seconds before Shkia or before Tesa Kachovim or what have you. However, the Gemara holds that EF Shalitzamtim, you're going to be able to get him smack at that final moment. So therefore, any Asra they're going to give him throughout the day, eat this Kikar, is Asra Safik, because you don't know whether he will in fact eat during the day or not. Says Reish Lakish, Asra Safik, Loish Mohasra, and that's the reason why we're not going to go and give that person any Malkus. So I have two reasons not to give Malkus. Either because it's a Lav Shema Maisa, or because it's Asra Safik, Lav Shema Asra. Now, obviously, since Rabbi Yochanan says his reason, and Reish Lakish says his reason, and we don't have them both saying the same reason, there's a Machloikis. So Reish Lakish apparently holds that a lav she'im be maisa loikin olav, even though im be maisa loikin olav, and fakert Rabbi Yochanan that says that the reason is because of lav she'im be maisa, he apparently holds asra safik shmo hasra, and that's therefore the basis of the machlokes. That's why the Gemara said v'azul tamay with asra safik shmo hasra lav shmo hasra, that's lishitoson, just like yesterday Rabbi Yochanan said Asura Safik Shemo Hasra. Here too, the only reason why you're parted from Malkis is because it's a Lav Shema Maisa. But Asura Safik Shemo Hasra. And the same thing, Reish Lakish holds Asura Safik Lav Shemo Hasra. And that's why there's no Malkis there. So that's the Azul Litamai. Zoktimoru Travayu Alibid Rabbi Yehuda. Both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yehuda who have now expressed themselves vis-a-vis lav she'en mamaisa loikin or ein loikin, and vis-a-vis asra sofik hav asra lishma asra, there the each one pinned their halacha based on the following Rabbi Yehuda. And you remember that Barry yesterday already asked, why doesn't the Gemara go and talk about the famous lav shenitik lasei of noiser? And in fact, that's what we are going to address right now. Desanya, state in the brace of loisir mimeno ad boiker, for noiser mimeno ad boiker, bo eish tis roifu. The halacha is by all kodshim, you have to eat them within their zman. What is the zman of kodshim? It depends on every single carbon, whether it's yom v'layla, shne yom v'layla echad, until the morning, whatever, it doesn't make a difference. But whatever the zman is, make sure to eat the carbon within that zman. If you leave over any of the carbon which you don't eat, b'toich hazman, you're over on the isra of loisisiru mimenu ad boiker. So I would think, okay, if the person is taka over, it's like any lav, give him malchus. Says the Gemara, no, we don't give him malchus. Now there are three potential reasons why we don't give the person malchus. The first reason is, says the Gemara, because it's a lav hanitik la'aseh. Because the Torah says, the Torah is giving us, quote unquote, another remedy. What it's telling us is, I have an idea, Rabbi Yisai. You want to avoid getting malchus? Says Rabbi Yishalalam, do the following. Take any noisa which is left over out of boiker and burn it. With this you have been misaking your chait of being overly sincere mimenu, and you won't get malchus. And that's what Ataka says in the Braisa. Bo hakos of litin asay acher lois asay. That's why the Torah juxtaposed this essay right after the lav to tell you, don't be over the lav. But if you're over the lav, but kosov litin asay acher lois says loymar she'ein loikin olav diver Reb Yehuda. Oh, so that's the reason why there's no malchus, because it's a lav hanitik laasay. So let me ask you a question, says the Gemara. That's the only reason why there's no malchus, because it's a lav hanitik laasay. I can think of at least two other reasons. Reason number one is because it's a lav she'ein by maisa. How are you over the iser of noiser? Not by doing something affirmatively, but by sitting on your hands. You should have eaten and eaten and eaten until there'd be no noiser, no carbon left. And you didn't do that. So you're not over by commission, but by omission, by not eating. That's chalav she'im b'maisa. Isn't that another solid reason why? Lav she'im b'maisa ain't like an olav. And I have a third reason. And the third reason is, like we said before, we encourage the person to eat and to eat the carbon. And we tell him, mister, if you're not going to eat the carbon, bizmanoi, you're going to be over the isra of noiser. And the fellow says, mister, I got plenty of time. Give me a break. I'm going to come back to it. First I want to chaza the daf, and then I'm going to eat my carbon. So every time you tell him that hasra, each time he says, I got more time left. And therefore it has the status of hasra sofik, and al tasra sofik lo yishmo hasra. That will be yet a third reason why you don't give the person malchus. But notice Rabbi Yehuda gives the reason only because of the lav hanitik la'aseh. He doesn't talk about the lav she'ein by ma'isa. He doesn't talk about the asra sofik. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are going to be medayik from the words of Rabbi Yehuda legabi these two halachas. So Rabbi Yochanan dayik kochi. After Rabbi Yehuda says that the reason why there's no malchus because it's a lav hanitik la'aseh, Rabbi Yochanan is medayik taimid de bar kosev. It's because bar kosev litain asay acher lois asay. He's just quoting the first two words of the prior line. Bar kosev litain asay says Rabbi Yochanan, you know why you're potter for malchus? Because bar kosev litain asay acher lois asay. Haloi bar kosev. What happens if there wouldn't be a lav hanitik la'aseh? To loike, we'd give the guy 39 patch. Alma, what do we see? Tamir Sasra Safik, Shemo Hasra. Even though I don't know for sure, is he going to be over? Is he not going to be over? Is he going to be Moisir Ad Boiker? I don't know. Because each time I come to him, he says, I got time. Have a little patience. I have other people coming. We're all going to eat the carbon together. So it's a Sra Safik. So he sees Shemo Hasra, and he would get Malchus Al Hasra. It's only he doesn't get malchus because it's a lav handed to glass. Hey. And therefore says Rabbi Yochanan, I have a riot to my halacha. Reish Lakish Dayekachi, Taim the Bar Kosov, it's only because Bar Kosov litain to give it a din of lav hanitiklase, haloi bar kosov, if it wouldn't be for that, it's loike. Al malav shein by maisa, loikin olav. So you see that there is malchus and a lav shein by maisa. So that's the basis of each one of their shitais. But now the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. What does Reish Lakish do with Rabbi Yochanan's Raya? And what does Rabbi Yochanan do with Reish Lakish's Raya? Both Rayas are solid. In each case, we're saying that the only reason Rabbi Yehuda gives why there's no Malkis because Alav Anitik Laasei, why doesn't he give the reason because of Asras Avik? Why doesn't he give the reason because of Lav Sheim Amaisa? Zokti Gemara. Rish Lakish, Reb Shimon Malakish. Nami Havadi Asra Safiku. Obviously, it's Asra Safik. So if it's Asra Safik, what should be the din? Loikin Olav. Why did Reb Shimon Malakish say before Asra Safik, Lav Shmo Hasra? The only reason why there's no Malkis is because of Lav and Itiklase. But out Asra Safik, we would give Malkis. Says Rish Lakish, you're absolutely right. From this Rabbi Yehuda, you have a solid riot. But I don't follow this Rabbi Yehuda, I follow another Rabbi Yehuda, the Gabi Hilchas Hasrof Sofik. Sovlok Irech Tanad Rabbi Yehuda. Who's the other Rabbi Yehuda? The Sanyi, we learned in the Braisa. Hikazeh, v'chozev hikazeh. Kilalzeh, v'chozev kilalzeh. Hikashneem bebas achas, hikilashneem bebas achas is chayiv. What are we talking about, Rabbi Yisai? We all know the halacha maki of the imai. Mois yumas. Mikal of the imai, mois yumas. It's a terrible thing, chas v'sholom, to hit a parent or to go and chas v'sholom curse a parent. Then if a person does that, chas v'sholom adin a misa. Okay. We can have a shaila whether a person is a parent or not. Now, normally it's readily apparent who is a parent. But sometimes it isn't. What would be the case that you don't know for sure? So, Rashi gives the classic case, the Gemara gives a number of places. What happens if, chas v'sholom, there is a get, rachman litzlan? Or for that matter, if a person passes away, leaving over an almana. The halacha is that this woman should not remarry for a period of at least 3 months. Why not? Very simple. Because if she does remarry, and she becomes pregnant, and then after 3 months, we see she's walking around with a bit of a belly, and people say, oh, she's pregnant. Oh, but we don't know whether the child that will eventually be born, whether it will be a ben, it's going to be a ben vav or ben zayin to the second one, or a ben tes to the rishon. In other words, she gets married within a month or 2 months after Nebuch the Patira. She waits until Shloishim, after the Patira, or she waits Shloishim, or whatever, after she got her get, and now she remarries. And then, Baruch Hashem, 8 months, 9 months later, she has a child. So now that child, it could very well be that she was still, not that she was still, but she was already pregnant from her first husband, and or that she became pregnant from her second husband. The reason why she's giving birth after 9 months, 9 months, if you subtract from 9 months, the 1 or 2 or 3 months until she got married, I don't have a full 9 months. Yeah, so she could be, she should be giving birth to what we call in Yiddish a zibla. Zibla means a child that was a full 7 months pregnancy period. The Gemara holds an 8 months pregnancy period, the child won't live. Of course, nowadays things are different because of modern science and medical stuff. But years ago, an 8 month child, you knew from 8 months from the time of pregnancy, this child will be a nephil, won't be able to manage.
How about 9 months?
9 months is standard. 7 months is the chiddush, that even after 7 months, a baby can exist and a baby can flourish, Baruch Hashem. So, if there was a divorce, or if there was a death, chas v'sholom, and after 2 months, she goes and remarries and becomes pregnant, and then 7 months later, she has a baby. So it's 7 months from the second marriage, but it's 9 months from the time that she ended the first marriage. Or he ended the first marriage. So I don't know whether it's a ben Tesha l'Rishon or a ben Shiva l'Achrayin. Okay, what nafka minute does that make? It makes a lot of nafka minutes. What happens if the first husband was a Kohen, the second one is a Levi or Yisrael, or vice versa? Okay, so getting back to our Gemara now. What happens now? You have here a son. The son is now 13 years later, and this son, unfortunately, is not a nice son. And what does he do? He, chas v'sholem, hits one of the two fathers. Obviously, in this case, it's talking about that it's a grusha and not an almana, because if the father's already dead, then there wouldn't be a din of chabura, because there's no blood flowing anymore from the first husband, as we had back in Sanhedrin. Okay, so Nebuch, this is a ben grusha, and now we don't know whether it's the first father's son or the second father's son. If he were to, he was about to go and give a chabura to his first father, and or to the second father, what happens is, if two Edom come and say, don't do that, you're crazy, you know what you're doing, chas v'sholem, yimimaki ov v'imoy, you don't have to kill the father or mother. Just by giving oise chabura, you'll be a din of misa. Don't do it. And he says, afu pikein, and he gives a real hard blow to one of the two. Since I don't know which one is the real father, so then it's asra safik. Asra safik, lav shmo asra. But what happens if this person wants to be a machmir? He definitely wants to be oiver. And he is in a rage. And both fathers are there. Both the potential father number one and the potential father number two. And he's about to go and hit both of them. Okay, so now the question is, did he do it b'basachas or did he do it b'zeh achar zeh? Shezoktun zri gemara, desanya hik zeh v'choz v'hik zeh. And Rashi explains that when he was about to hit father number one, we gave him asra. Don't go and hit father number one. That may be your father. He ignores it and he gives azetz to his father. And Nebuch, he begins to bleed. And now what happens? And now he wants to be certain to be over. So he's about to go and hit father number two. And we go over to him and say to him, don't hit father number two. Because you should know, if this is your real father and you make a chabura, you're going to get misa. And he says, afo pike. So he did it twice. He kazev, achaz v'hi kazev. Or kilazev, achaz v'kilazev. Same thing, but instead of hitting, he cursed that first the first father and then the second father. Or ikishneim b'basachas. Rashi's basachas doesn't have to be literally b'basachas. It could be b'toich k'dei dibur of the hasra. First he gives the first guy azetz, and then within another second he hits the second guy. So both of them are considered to be b'basachas. Or ikishneim b'basachas. In all cases you are chayiv, even though in the earlier case of the b'zeh achazeh, each hasra was hasra's sofik. Nevertheless, the Tanakhama holds the Torah Safik, Shmo Hasra. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer b'basachas is chayiv. If it's taka one Hasra for both, and he said, the two Edom say, Yankel, don't do that. This may be your father, that may be your father. If you're going to hit them, chas v'sholem, there'll be a din of misa. And he says, I don't care. And he hits both of them, either at one time, or b'toch k'dei dibur, one after the other. What's the din? You're chayiv. Why are you chayiv in such a case? Because that's Asruas Vadai, not Asruas Afik. Because if he's going to hit both of them, he is certainly going to be over the Isser of being Makke of it. I don't know which one, but he's certainly going to be over. Well, B'zeach HaZeh, Potter, because each time you do a separate Hasra for father number one, maybe it's the other guy. If you're going to give Hasra number two, maybe it's the first guy. Hasra Safik is Potter. Ah, so what do we see from this? Even though the first Rabbi Yehuda in the case of Noiser held that Asra Safik Shemo Hasra, and therefore he should get Malkus for being Moiser. Why doesn't he get the Malkus? Because it's a lava nitik lase. But otherwise, Al Asra Safik he would get. That was the first Rabbi Yehuda. But this Rabbi Yehuda holds that Asra Safik Loi Shemo Hasra, and therefore Bezeach Hazeh, your Potur. Says Rish Lakish, I learn like this Rabbi Yehuda, and not like the earlier Rabbi Yehuda. The obvious kasha is, I have a steer Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda, and the Gemara is going to deal with that shortly. And what does Rabbi Yochanan say? Rabbi Yochanan nami havadi lav shei maisuhu. This is a case of the noises of lav shei maisa. Why does the Gemara have to go and give the reason? Because of, it's a lav in the tiklasei. Why does the Gemara give the reason? Because the lav shein b'maisa. So the kihod the amr of Idi bar Avin amr of Amram amr of Yitzchak amr of Yoichanan. You have to add over here. Omer Hayoymer Rabbi Yehuda was zok the Bach. Hoyer Rabbi Yehuda mishum Rabbi Yosef Glili. Oymer Hoyer Rabbi Yehuda mishum Rabbi Yosef Glili. That Rabbi Yehuda used to say the name of Rabbi Yosef Glili. Kol loyse shebetoyra lav sheyesh b'maisa loyken olav. Okay, that's standard. Any lav sheyesh b'maisa, and there are no other contributing factors. It's not a lav anitik lase. It's not asra asafik. It's really a lav sheyesh b'maisa malkis. Lav she'ein b'maisa, ein loyken olav. If it's a regular lav she'ein b'maisa, no din of malkis. Chutz three exceptions: ben anishba u'meimer v'makalel es chaver b'shem. B'shem means b'shem Hashem. These three are the exceptions to the rule. Why are the exceptions to the rule? Says Rashi. Look up the other Gemara where the Gemaras go into it in Masechta Shmuz, Masechta Tzemura. But in our Gemara, the Gemara doesn't deal with those three exceptions. So we're only going to deal with the basic rule, and that lav shem b'maisa ain loikin olav. Ah, says Rabbi Yochanan, you're right from the previous Rabbi Yehuda that you quoted, the Gabi Hilchas Noiser. It sounds like a lav shem b'maisa loikin olav, because the only reason Rabbi Yehuda could go and give that your partner is because it's a lav anitik la'aseh. However, I don't rely on that Rabbi Yehuda. I rely on this Rabbi Yehuda. And what does this Rabbi Yehuda say? That lav she'ein by maisa ein loikin olav. Befreiti yimara. Good. We answer the kashas both on Rabbi Yochanan and on Rish Lakish each time by saying, but I have a raya from somewhere else. It's kasha Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. It's a shver on both terutz and both of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Both Rabbi Yehudas. Whether it's Rabbi Yehuda legabi hasra safik. In one place, Rabbi Yehuda holds Asra Sufik, Shmo Hasra. In the other place, Rabbi Yehuda holds Asra Sufik, Lav Shmo Hasra. The Gabi Lav Shein B'Maisa. In one place, Rabbi Yehuda holds Lav Shein B'Maisa, Loikin Olav. In the other place, he holds Lav Shein B'Maisa, Ein Loikin Olav. And for the Gemara, either Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Treitan Ali, but Rabbi Yehuda. There's a machloikis between the Talmidim of Rabbi Yehuda. What was Rabbi Yehuda's real halacha? The two Talmidim both heard the same shir. However, this one understood Rabbi Yehuda to say, in the case of Hasra Safik, Shmo Hasra, and the other one that it's Lav Shmo Hasra. Either Rabbi Yochanan like Kasha. Rabbi Yochanan is much easier because it's really not such a shtarka Kasha. Why is it not such a shtarka Kasha? Because the second Rabbi Yehuda that we quoted wasn't Rabbi Yehuda on his own. It's Rabbi Yochanan saying, Rabbi Yehuda, Yo'oimer Mishum Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Oh, it's Rabbi Yosi Aglili that holds that Alav She'im B'Maisa Ein Loikin Olav. But Rabbi Yehuda himself holds that Alav She'im B'Maisa Loikin Olav. And that's why in the case of the Noiser, there should be Malkus. Except though I have another reason, because Alav Hanitik La'aseh. And with that, we have concluded the discussion about the Asura Sofik Shema Asura, Alav Shema Asura, and Alav Shein B'Maisa Loiken Olav or Ein Loiken Olav, a double machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, as well as between the Talmidim of Rabbi Yehuda and or Rabbi Yehuda and his own Rebbe. And now we go. Yes.
It's embalming. He said the purpose of Asura is to have them and show them will raise it.
Mm-hmm.
We end on this technical requirement that Asura has to be delivered the Tov Kedei Dibor.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of someone who is doing a crime of omission,
mm-hmm.
why, since there's no time for him to do Tolkien Day Dibor, why don't we establish that once the Hasra is given and the person understands he's committing a crime, Chayv Malkus, why do we have to say, well, he has more time with him, another Hasra, another time? It feels like a gimmick. Once a person knows he's doing something amazing, or he's a chaver and doesn't need Hasra, according to what we had earlier, why are we saying that he needs repetitious asura in order to make this judicially actionable? Once he knows he's doing b'mezid, that's it, he's on notice, as if he were a chaver. Why are we saying he needs multiple asura in order to trap him into malchus?
Because we're saying that it's true at the time we told him he heard the asura. However, if he ceased and desisted from doing the Aveira then, and he only did it later on, when he did it later on, he said, I didn't remember, I forgot. After all, I was in a rage, and I decided to go and do Avera A, B, or C. And it's true, at the moment when I was about to do it the first time, they gave me Asra, and then I stopped. And guess what happened? And an hour or two later, when I committed the Isra, I had already forgotten all about it. That's number one.
It's an act of omission here. We're talking about act of omission.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're saying is the time that to continually be new to Asra in order for it to be
Okay. We don't have to say that this person who did an act of omission is a bad guy. He legitimately felt, when I said 9 o'clock in the morning I'm going to go and eat the kikar, I'm going to eat it. And when I came 12 o'clock, I'm too busy now, I haven't finished reviewing the daf, and me at gym at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock, oi, I forgot I have a meeting. Okay, I'll eat at 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock, oi, I have mincha gdoil, I have to run to mincha. So each time he said, there's plenty of time, I'm going to do it. I'm going to, don't be nervous, just give me a chance, I'm going to do it. And then the day just kept on flowing and flowing and flowing. By the time the day ended, oi, I forgot, oi, I'm so sorry. But all of those are considered to be asras, suffix, because each time we remind him, he says, I got a time, I'm going to do it. That's item one. Number two, since we're agreeing that there's a machloikas asra, suffix, shmo asra, olav shmo asra, it could very well be that according to the man, the yama that holds, the yama that you were quoting before, that a chofer doesn't require asra, a nechlami, maybe you would hold asra safik, shmo asra. You'd have to go and check him out throughout Shas to hold, to see what he holds, the gabadin of asra safik. So getting back to our Gemara, now we're up to Tanan Hossam, which is the final line of the narrow lines. This is a Mishnah in Mesechtes Chulin. And what are we talking about? Now we're talking about the famous halach of Shiluach HaKan. What's the din of Shiluach HaKan? Pasuk says, Ki yikari kan tzipa lefanecha baderech. You come across a nest with an egg or eggs in it. Choleit, aloret, afroichem, aveitzim. It doesn't have to even be eggs. It could be little chicklets. And you'd like to take them for yourself. And we're talking about it's a situation of hefker. There's no gezel or geneva involved. However, he notices va'ein, the mami bird, is roivetes alo afroichem oy alaveitzim, either on the chicklets or on the eggs. Oy oy oy. Zok the Torah, loisika cho'eim al habonim. Don't take the mami with the children, but rather shaleach the shalach aseim. First, send the mami away. Es habonim tikach loch, and then you can go and take the kids. Aha. So it says in the pasuk both a lav and an asay. The lav is loy sikach eim alabonim, and then it says shaleach the shalach es ho eim. Now, if you read the pasuk literally like we just did, and you read it within the context of lav hanitik laasay, it would seem that this is just like the case of noiser that we had a few minutes ago. That just like by noiser says loy soisiru, make sure don't be moiser. But what happens if you were oiver? Vanoisim imenu. Oh, I have a tikkun for you. What's a tikkun? Ba'eshtis rifle. Here too. Loisikacha eim alabanim. Don't do it. Don't take them all together. But what happens if you did? Shaleach the shalach haseim. Go and send the mommy bird away. And therefore that would be like your normal case of a lav hanitik la'aseh. The Torah says, don't. But if you did it, I have a remedy. Bishaleach the shalach haseim thereafter. And the way we just learned the pshat in the pasuk is taka the way the chachamim learned the pshat in the pasuk. Tanan hasam anoytel aim al habonim. We'll get back to Rabbi Huda in a moment. Chacham oimrim mishaleach ve'ein aloike. Mister, you don't want to get malchus for your iser of loisikach aim al habonim. I got eitzah for you. Shaleach the shalach aseim. Just like go and burn the noiser. Go and send the mommy bird away. And you do that ve'ein aloike. Rabbi Yehuda says, however, we skipped over Rabbi Yehuda, loike ve'ena mishaleach. What's as far as Rabbi Yehuda says, Rashi, although the text of the pasuk lists the lav first and the asay number two, you should understand the pasuk in reverse. What does that mean, you should understand the pasuk in reverse? Says Rashi, that when you see the aim al-habonim, you don't be over on the din of Loisikach, but rather shalech the shalach immediately. As soon as you come across this kantzipa, and you're thinking that you'd like to go and take these eggs, and or you want to go and take these chicklets, you know what you should do? Before anything else, shalech the shalach haseim, send the mami away me'ikara, so that you won't be over on the iser of Loisikach ho'eim alabar. See, even though the text, the order of the pasuk is a lav hanitik la say text, Rabbi Yehuda reads it as if it's a din of lav shekodmoy asay, which you'll remember we had Rabbi Yochanan yesterday, who said lav shekodmoy asay, at least initially, Rabbi Yochanan said loiken olav. Afterwards he changed his mind, and at the end of the sugya, he once again changed his mind, and he went back to his original loiken olav. We're going to go a little bit into that today, as you will see. Anyway, so that's Rabbi Yehuda. But the focus is not on Rabbi Yehuda, the focus is on the Chachamim that say that this is a lav and nitik la'asei, and be mishalech ve'ein aloike, ze haklal, kol mitzis loises v'sheyesh bakum asei. Anytime you have a lav, ha nitik la'asei, ein chayov and aleh, no din of malchus. Why? Because you can be misaken the lav by doing the asei. You were over on le'sikach ha'eim alabonim. Say the Chum, no problem. Shaleach the Shalach Haseim. Go and be Mishaleach the Aim now. And you won't get Malkus. And this is halacha that doesn't only apply to Shaleach HaKan. Zehakla. Kol mitzvahs. As they state to in the Mishnah. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan.
How could you do that? You take the eggs.
I'm sorry, what?
Anyway, when you're going to take the eggs, the dirt flies away. So.
If you are a good hunter and capturer of fowl, I'm sure you'll figure out a way to take all three at one time. You have the aim al habonim, take a large net, scoop up the whole nest with the mami and the birds at the same time, and you'll see you're going to be a great hunter and trapper of birds. You can get all three of them. So it says the Torah, you're not allowed to do that. What you have to do is go and scare the bird away, make some sort of noise, whatever it happens to be, shoo the bird away, and then you can go and take the kids. But what happens if you didn't do that? You in fact captured all three of them at one time, the mommy and the chicklets or the eggs. Oh, say the chum is an eitzah, mishalech. Send the bird out subsequently. And that will be mesakin, your love, that you don't have to worry about getting pech. And the same thing applies, zeaklal komitz. So, Rabbi Yochanan now is medayik two things. Number one, what is he medayik is, why does the Chacham say mishalech ve'ein aloike? Why does the Chacham just simply say, this is a lav hanitik la'asei, ein aloike? Since the Torah gives you that other remedy called shalech v'shalach, no malchus. Why is it only if you're mishalech ve'ein aloike? Is Dr. Rashi, because that's what the Rabbi Yochanan holds, according to the Chachamim, that the only time there's no malchus if, in fact, you implement your remedy. You activate your remedy. By what? By being mishaleach. If you sit on your hands and you're not mishaleach, then you get malchus on a lav hanitik la'asei. This is a great trivia question. Somebody asks you, how can you go and get malchus on a lav hanitik la'asei? And the answer is, when you did not perform the asei, you just left it hanging. Like the case of the noiser. What happens if he didn't burn up the noiser the next morning? Based on this statement, you didn't burn it, you get malchus. Because that's what Chacham required. Be mishaleach. Then you ain't a loike. Says Rashi, what happens if you're not mishaleach? You're loike. Even though it's a lav hanitik la'asei, it's not just a blanket statement. Oh, lav hanitik la'asei, no malchus. You gotta do the asei. That's what the chum say. Say the chum further. Number two, zaklal. This is across the board. Not only the gabi din of shluch hakat. However, says Rabbi Yochanan, onu ein lonu elezois vi oidacheres. Even though the chum give this zaklal. Truth be told, says Rabbi Yochanan, there's only one other case besides Shluch HaKan, where you have a lav hanitik la'asei, that when don't you get malchus? Only if you perform the asay. If you don't perform the asay, then you get malchus, says Rabbi Yochanan. That's only here, Shiluch HaKan, and one more case. Which is that one more case, we'll see in a moment. However, in all other cases, a lava nitikla asay, even if you don't perform the asay, there is no din of malchus. And we're going to now explore four or five or six other cases of what appeared to be a lava nitikla asay, why you do or do not get malchus in each case. Zokti Yimar. So Rabbi Yochanan said, Ein lono ele zois, the case of Shuluch HaKan, v'oyra cheres, and one more, that if you perform the asay, you're off the hook. Omle Rabloza hecha, nuvuvu, as we know, Rabloza ben Pedos, was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, and he says, Rabbi, hecha, what is that other one? Don't leave us in suspense. And the Rabbi says, I'm not going to let you go so easily. Omlechei lechi, tishkach, geizuch, go through Shas. After all, Reb Lozim and Pedos, you have a computer mind. Go through Shas, and I'm sure you'll find it. Nofak dok v'ashkech. Oh, I found it. This Anya. And now we go back a little bit into yesterday's Gemara. What was yesterday's Gemara? Oynes shegiresh. We have again this terrible fellow who was ma'anes. He violated a nara psula. What happens? The Torah says, Loisia li'isha, le'yuchal shalcha kol yamav. As we said yesterday, number one, he has to go and pay the knas of being ma'anis and narab sula. And Ariel so beautifully explained yesterday, there's another punishment too. And that punishment that he has to go and marry her, and he has to be stayed, he has to continue to be married her forever. Hopefully the person will think twice before he does such a terrible act in the future. Anyway, what happens? It says in the Torah, La Yucha Shalcha Kol Yomav, and he gave her a get anyway. Oy, what a bad guy. Question is, does he get Malchus, or doesn't he get Malchus? So now the Torah says about this fellow, that he should go and marry Lo Yisir Le'isha, which is an Asay. La Yucha Shalcha Kol Yomav, he's not allowed to go and divorce her, and he divorced her anyway. Zokets the Braisa. Im Yisrael, who, if the perpetrator, this Ma'anai's fellow, if he's Yisrael, Machzevein Eloike, I have an Eitzah for him. In other words, this din is just like the din of a lava nitiklase, although technically you remember we learned yesterday that it's the other way around. On the surface, the Torah says that he had Lo Yisir Le'isha, which is of course the Asay, Lo Yuchashalcha Kol Yomav, which is the Lo Yisesa, so it's a Lav shekodmoy asay. The reason why it has the status like a lav hanitik lasay, the Gemara says, because it says kol yomav. Kol yomav means that even after he was over the loisesa, he was megarisher, kol yomav, take her back, take her back, take her back. So every day it's a lav hanitik lasay, there's still that asay kol yomav. Ah, so in fact if he takes her back, then there's no malchus. The im koinhu loike v'ena machzik. And of course, if it's the coin, he can't take her back, so you get Malchus. So what do I see from the case of the Yisrael? Oh, so that's just like the case of the Shluach HaKan. Mishalech ve'ein aloike. Here too, Machzim ve'ein aloike. Zayikit. So that's the Oir Acheres L'choira that Rabbi Yochanan was referring to. Oh, Rabbi Loza gets the prize for discovering that Oir Acheres. Says Yimara, one second. Before we give out prizes, let me understand. How is that? Now, what is kaim of loy kaim, bit loy bit loy? We had a discussion about this yesterday. Without going through the entire sugya once again, kaim of loy kaim means that the person was over the lav. He now comes to Bezin, and Bezin says, you have a choice. Your choice is either you get malchus or be mekayim the asay. And the person says, okay, I'm being mekayim the asay. You're kaimoi, then you don't get malchus. If you loy mekayimoi, if he says, no, I'm not going to perform the asay, then you get malchus. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. So you have over here this oynes shegiresh. She is furious. Remember, you can go and give a get bal korch of the isha. So now the wife takes the former husband to Bezin and says, Bezin, do you hear what he did? Last month he was ma'anis me. Then after that, he married me. But then now he's over this new iser of liyuchush alcha kol yamav. And Bezin says, Mister, are you going to take her back? If the answer is yes, fine. Let's call the kedushin right now. We'll call the mesada kedushin, and we're going to be mekayimit. And then if you're mekayimit, there's no din of malchus. If he says, no, I refuse, I cannot stand this woman, then we're going to give malchus immediately. That's kaim of leikaim. That I understand very well. Therefore, if he takes her back in machzer, ain't a like it. Elamad yom a bitloi bitloi. How do you have a case of bitloi bitloi legabe oinis? Bitloi means that he has to affirmatively say, no, I am never ever going to take back. And if you remember yesterday, we said that the only theoretical possibility would be if he makes a neder berabim, which is ein bahafara, and therefore he's saying, you could stand on your heads. I will never, ever, ever take her back with a neder that you cannot be matir neder. Then we go and give him malchus. But the Gemara doesn't know that teretz yet. In fact, the Gemara is going to give that teretz in another couple of lines. But at this point, the Gemara wants to know, how can you affirmatively be mevatel going and doing the remarriage? So, first the Gemara explores Shluch HaKan. How can you have a case of bitloy? Bitloy means that you're mevatel. There's no way possible that you're going to be mekayim the mitzvah of shaleach deshalach. How is that mishkachesla? Says Rashi, very simple. After he went and caught the mommy and the baby birds, he went and shechted the mommy. Or for that matter, he just killed the mommy. Is it possible for him to mekayim the dinner shaleach deshalach haseim? No, because the mommy is dead. So that's a real bitloy. In such a case, oh, you mavato, that mitzvah say, boom, we're going to go and give you malchus. And if he says, I'm not going to send away the pigeon today, the mommy today, I'll send it away tomorrow, I'll send it away in a week from now, in a month from now, he procrastinates. In such a case, we won't give him malchus because maybe he'll taka be mekayim the assay eventually, but maybe not. So the only way that you can go and give him malchus is if he's bitloy, how would be bitl, says Rashi, you shecht it on the spot. Okay. Bela oinis, bitloy, the bitloy, heichi mishkachas lo. How do you find by a case of madness where he went and he divorced his wife to go and say he might not be mekayim, the taking the wife back? La yuchel shalcha kol yom of loy seeli isha. That I could see. That he's not mekayim it, he's going to drag it out for the next 50 years and he doesn't take her back. But how can I have a bittul, where he nullifies, where he says, there's no way possible that I'm going to go and be mekayim this mitzvah. Why not? He'll have a change of heart tomorrow morning. He'll wake up. He won't be so furious anymore. He'll take it back. So how do you find the case of bittul? So l'chari will say the same thing that we just said by the bird. Just like by the bird, he killed the bird. He'll go and kill the wife. Eat the kotla. And from this point on, it's impossible to go and be mekayim the mitzvah of v'loisi eli isha. So let's go and give him malchus. Rabbi say malchus we're going to give him. Komli b'drammineh. We're going to give him misa because he killed his wife. Even though it's no longer his wife, it's former wife. But he killed her. So that's much, much worse, obviously, than just giving malchus. So Amar Avsimi Mechoz, no, I have an easy answer. Kegon shekibbel lo kiddusha mi'acher. That this husband was mevatel the possibility of taking her back by mekadish her to somebody else, to a third party. He was mekabel kedushin on her behalf to mekadish her to someone else. And now the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question, which is bothering Barry. Omarav, tell me more the details. Isha vise shliach, if she appointed her former husband to the shliach, to go and perform this kedushin with someone else, and to makabel the kess of kedushin on her behalf as her shliach with someone else, then it's not that he is being mavatel the possibility of remarriage. She's the one that's being mavatel the possibility of remarriage because she's accepting marriage for someone else. And Eishes Ish obviously cannot be married to two separate men. So she's the one that's being mavatel, not he. So Vaita, he wouldn't go and get Malchus for being Mevatel, the possibility of this Mitzvah Saseh, because he's not being Mevatel. If she did not point to Mishliach, but he on his own wanted to be a good Boy Scout and marry her off to someone else. Kol kaminei v'leklum. He doesn't have that power and authority. Can you marry off women, even former wives, to somebody else? If she authorizes you. But if she didn't authorize it, you can stand on your head. How can you go marry her to somebody else? So Vaita, how do you have a case of bitloy that he was mavatal the possibility of being mekayim the mitzvahs asay of v'loy sielisha? Elam Rav Simon Edo. Oh, that was the terrace that we gave yesterday. That was Rashi, remember yesterday? Going shadir berabim. He made a neder berabim that I'm never, ever going to go and remarry this lady Sprinza. Forget about it. Oh, so now since he cannot be mekayim the asay, now we're going to go and give him malchus. 1 second. Remember when it says afara really means ein lehatara. That makes sense. There's a man that disagrees and holds that even it's a neidish huda barabim, you can still be matir neider. So Havaita, how we're going to have a case of bitloy where we're going to go and give him malchus? Oh, the madir lo aldas rabim. Instead of just being a neder huda barabim, it was a neder aldas rabim. Yom rameim hilchasa neder huda barabim yeshli hafara. But aldas rabim ein li hafara. What's the reason why a neder aldas rabim ein li hafara? Zong the mafarshim, because one of the bases of getting a heter on a neder is if he has a pesach charata. You yourself that make your own private neder, originally you thought that you could live with the neder, and a week later you realize that this is just too much of a burden, and therefore you go and ask the bezdin, I have charata, I should never have said it, I made a mistake, I regret it, and then they can find you a pesach. However, if it's a neder al das rabim, although you have charata, were we to take opinion poll among the rabbim, the masses of Klal Yisrael, what do you think? Do you regret that Yankel made this neder? So like any Gallup poll, you'll find 53% in favor, 40% against, and 7% say, we don't know, we don't care, leave me alone, I got other things to worry about. So the point is, once it's al das rabim, you no longer have that factor of charata, because although you're mischarit, maybe nobody else is mischarit. Anyway,
is it 3, 10, 100?
I believe the answer is anyone and everyone. I'm making a neder. He uses the expression al das rabim, which means this and that. Yes, Barry has disagrees. Shoot.
No, I have another question. Please finish.
Okay, to my knowledge, there's no set number of 3 or 10 or 100. Aldas Rabim means the masses and the multitudes of Klal Yisrael. The intent by making a neder Aldas Rabim is to make it invincible that you should not be able to be martyred under any circumstances.
It's like a day by Yazo the Rabim, you can never do two before because there's so, the Rabim. So here, mm-hmm. you're neder
on the feathers.
Yes, sir. Yes, Barry.
In the case of the Master Rishoso, we need her. The Mahanis needs her consent to remarry. He can divorce her by force. He can't remarry her without her consent. Doesn't this cause a knach, as you would say, in the whole structure? Because it's not up to him now to mitaken this law. It's up to her consent. She may have consented the first time, but the second time, after he's divorced her, she may say, I'm out of here.
What you're saying is correct, but the presumption of the Gemara is that she is maskin to go and remarry, and if, in fact, he does remarry, he will be mekayim this mitzvah sasei v'loy siyah v'isha, and then we will not go and give him malchus, because he was misakin the lav al yidei the nisuin. You're right. She may say, I'm never going to get back with you. You're a mishigani, you're a tzedraita, you're an abuser. I'm not interested. But if he...
But doesn't it destroy the whole template? Because in the case of a lav hanitik lasei, it's noser, it's an inanimate object. You don't need the consent of the noser to burn it. Whether it was to be burnt or not, if you throw it in the fire, it burns. Here, you don't have that same template of he required the consent of the other party to get him out of his conundrum.
So if in fact she is not maskim, then the husband can go and throw up his hands and say, if you hold bitloy veloy bitloy, I am more than happy to go and remarry her. She is the one that's preventing it, and therefore we would not give him malchus because he's not mevatel the mitzvah saseh. I'm already willing and able to do it.
But he is. No, not true. Just the opposite. She refuses so that he gets the malchus because it's not a question of what he's willing to do. It's a question of, is it done? If lo siyam isha kol yomav means he has to be married to her. Mm-hmm. Without her consent, she holds the key to him getting malchus or not. So it's not the same template.
I understand perfectly your question. According to the Man Di'amar, bitloy veloy bitloy, the only time that you're going to go and get malchus is if he, biyadayim, affirmatively rejects the commission or the performance of the mitzvahs aseh. As long as he says, I am here, ready, willing, and able to perform the mitzvahs aseh, we're not going to go and give him malchus. So therefore, I'm ready. She's not ready. That's her problem, not my problem. You, Bezin, have no right to go and give me malchus because I am ready to go and do the mitzvahs aseh to mitzvah in this life. Getting back to Agamar. So far we seem to have answered the riddle posed by Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, I can only find two cases of a lav hanitik la'aseh, where, depending on whether he's mekayim the mitzvah, or he's not mekayim, or using Rabbi Yochanan's lishoynis, I'm mevatel or not mevatel, that would depend on whether he gets the malchus. But in all other cases, as long as it's a lav hanitik la'aseh, no din of malchus. So freitimara besuleka, I can find more cases, not only the case of Nois and the case of the Ma'anes, Vo'ika, and now the Gemara goes through a series of other potential cases. Case number one, Gezel, Rachmana Amaloi Sigzol, don't steal, Chas HaSholem. And what is the tikkun for that lav? The Heshiv Zagzela Asher Gozel, return the Gzela. Once you return the Gzela, you have a lav, Hanitik La'aseh, and you are Meshiv Zagzela, therefore, you're not going to get malchus. The implication is, what happens if he does not return the gzela? Then we would give him malchus. Oh, so that's very similar to the case of the Shiluach HaKan that we spoke about, or being ma'anes. Also, we're giving him the opportunity to be mesakin the lav by being mekayim the mitzvah. If he's mekayim the mitzvah, no malchus. If he's not mekayim the mitzvah, yes malchus. And we're going to talk about bitloy v'loy bitloy as well. That's case number one. We have also mashkin, rachman amalei sovi al beis lavad avoytoy. You have no right to go into the home of the defaulting borrower to go and take a mashkin. And what happens if you went on your own, self-help, you went and took a mashkin, hoshiv toshiv loyis avoy kivoyash emesh v'irach eka. You got to give it back. Oh, so if you give it back, no malchus. If you don't give it back, yes malchus. The Mekayim of Loi Kaimu is the easy one, where he says, yes, I'm giving it back, or he refuses to give it back. What's the bitl? How are you mevatel giving back the gzela, or mevatel giving back the mashkin, says Rashi? You burn it. The object that you stole, or the mashkin that you took, you put it in a bonfire. Now you are bitloi, impossible to return. So what would be the din? You get malchus. Oh, so instead of saying that there are only two cases of Shluch HaKan, the case of Ma'anis, I have four cases. I have a case of Gezel, I have a case of Mashkin. We're there too. If you are Misakin, no Malkus. You're not Misakin, you get Malkus. And for the Mar Nishka Kasha, also, Kibin the Chayim B'Tashlumen, Ein Loiko Mishalim. The Torah gives you another Eitzah. And the Eitzah is what happens if you didn't return the Gzelo, you didn't return the Mashkin. Give at least back the money equivalent, whatever the gzela was. You stole the guy's watch. The watch was worth $1,000. Pay him $1,000. You stole the guy's mashkin was worth $1,000. Pay him $1,000. It's certainly not as good as giving back the original item. True. But at least that's another tikkun. Therefore, go and give the tashlumin, and then you won't have to do the malchus, because ain loika mishal. Matler Rabzeira, I have another case. Ha'ika mashkin yishlo ger. Ooh, if a mashkin of the ger, and the ger had no children, no family members, and you took it, umesa ger, Rashi says, when the ger was still alive, you burned the gzela, or you burned the mashkin. Okay, so normally, until now, we just said, tashlumin, chai b'tashlumin aloike. There it's impossible to tashlumin, because the ger died, and he has no heirs. So what do you do? Every mohasim gavar bar tashluminu. Initially, when he was still alive, when you destroyed either the gezel or the mashkin, so then you were chayv teshlumin. The fact that you cannot be mechayv teshlumin now is, if you will, a technicality. Meaning that you could easily have been mesakin by doing the teshlumin. And since when the ger was still alive, you were ready, willing, and able to do the Teshlumin. So the Bezin said, I'm resigned, no Malkus. That he subsequently died, that wasn't your fault, so to speak. You didn't commit the crime. You didn't kill him. So it was no bitle v'le bitle. Bottom line is, that's not a good kasha. Frank, you move ikapay, but I have a case of paya. Drachman omli sechala. Pas sodcha bikutzrecha. Veleke ktsircha lo yisalakeit. Lo oni velagir tazav o yisamani Hashem. Ah. So what happens? You didn't leave payah. When you're supposed to leave payah, means leave the standing tvua. Don't cut it. Leave it in the field. What happens if you forgot or you refuse? Then you cut down all of the stalks in the field. Didn't leave even one. So now you were over on the leisachal pasod b'kutzrecha. But there's an eitzah. Leave over some of the cut tvua. Leave it on the ground. And on the gertaz of oisam. So if you leave it there, so you mekayim the asay. If you don't leave it there, you're not mekayim the asay. So isn't that another example of that? If you mekayim the asay, no malkis. You're not mekayim the asay. Yes, malkis. Ever the Gemara mishkachas, and that mishkachas of mekayim v'lekayim a bit of loy bitloy. Now, how you find mekayim v'lekayim bitloy bitloy? Now we learned in the Mishnah, mitzvah pei lahafresh min hakama. The mitzvah pay is to go and give it when it's standing. You forgot or you didn't, and now you cut it. So give it from the bundles. Even if you've bundled together all of the wheat and you're going to go and transfer it now to the goren, you can even give it from the heap of tzvua before you did the miruach. Miruach means to smooth it out on top. Mirchoi, once you smooth it out, ma'aser, v'noisin loy. You go and give meiser, the noisin loy, and then you give it. Normally, peya is hefker, and you don't have to give trumas and meiseris, but because you did the gemar malacha by doing miruach, you have to give meiser, the noisin loy, and then you can still la'oni v'lager taz of oisam. Oh, so I see another example of you are over the lav. If you perform the mitzvahs asay, you're misakin the lav, and you don't get malchus, and if you don't give it now, you'll get Malkus. So tomorrow, and the reason why we don't count Peah is because Rabbi Shmuel, the Amar Af Mafresh Min Isa. Rabbi Shmuel says, even after that, when you take the Tvua and you grind it into flour, and you make the flour into Isa, you make it into a dough, you can still give it at this time, according to Rabbi Shmuel. So therefore, there is no case of Bitloy. Without Rabbi Shmuel, as soon as you are tochen it into flour, says Rashi, that would be a major shinui. Based on that shinui, you can no longer mekayim the original mitzvah of peah. So that would be a case of bitloy. I mevatel the mitzvah by going and destroying the peah, taking the chitim and making it into flour. Says Yimor, no, not according to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, even if you made it into flour, even if you made it into dough, doesn't matter, those shinuyim don't count to be mevatalit, and you can still be mekayim the mitzvah. So go and list that as case number 3. Why is it only zois v'oyd acheres? Everything works with Shmuel. Nam mishkachas l'de'ochel isa. You eat it up. Once you eat up all of the chitim and all of the isa, guess what? There is no chitim left to mekayim la'oni v'lager taz of oisam, and now you have the bitla, you are mevatel that mitzvah asay, and therefore now would be the possibility of going and giving malchus. Ishokti mora. So why did Rabbi Yochanan say you only have 2 cases, the shluch hakan case and the ma'anis and the machzor grushasa case? I have case number 3, the Rabbi Shmuel. Zok to Yomar, you know what? I changed my mind. When Rabbi Yochanan initially said that there are two cases where you can be Masakin, if you're Masakin, no Malkus, you're not Masakin, you do get Malkus. Shiluach HaKan was one, yeah, that's the Mishnah. But case number two is not the case that we're learning until now about the Ma'anis and Machzor Grushasai, but rather the case of Peya. So Kimura Aval, Oynis Loi, Oynis is not a good example. Why not? Didn't we say by Oynis you have a case of Bitloi? How are you Bitloi? By making a Shvua Shahud Barabim. Nah. Hey, Chamrina Aldas Rabim Ein Leafora. That's Lidas, Horish, Lidvar, Horishus. Advar mitzvah yeshli hafora. Even if it's a neder shahud barabim, even if it's a neder shin he made al das rabim, you can still be matarit if it's lidvar mitzvah. Give me an example. Kihodahu mikri dardiki, there was a malamin. Davaposha bi yinuki. Unfortunately, he was a little bit too free on giving the pech. Yay, valada pech. And Adri Rav Acha made a neder. No, we will not take this Melamed back. And he made a neder, even if it was Aldas Rabim. Forget about it. We cancel your contract. We're not going to renew it. You're a little bit too abusive. And they sent him away. So now, since it was a neder that was made Aldas Rabim, Ein li hafara, this should be permanent. And nevertheless, Mahadri Ravina did take the Melamed afterwards. Why, after all, they couldn't find a better Malamed than him. All the other Malamedim were fumfening, and they weren't learning correctly, and we didn't learn with proper daikonis. It's very important to go and teach children properly. So even though, unfortunately, it was a little bit too strong on the patch, but they figured that it outweighed by his being such a professional, his proficiency, his knowledge, etc., etc. Anyway, so what do I see from this? That Lidvar Mitzvah, you can be Matar the Neder after all. No, in our case, we have a Mitzvah. What's the Mitzvah? V'loy Siya Li'isha. We wanted to Mekayim this Mitzvah. So even if he made a Neder, Al Das Rabbit, which normally you could not be Matar, here you can be Matar to go and be Mekayim the Mitzvah. So therefore, that is not a good example of a Bitloy, V'loy Bitloy. There's no way of being Mevatel this Mitzvah. Even if he makes a Neder, he can be Mevatel it. Oh, that's why the Zois Vois Eiracheres is not going on the Oynes case. It's going on the Peya case that we just went through. And with that, we conclude the whole sugya of Bitle Vole Bitle, Kaim Vole Kaimai, and we move on to the next case in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah talks about other cases where you go and get Malkus. You go and get Malkus. So what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is, we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, sometimes you eat only one sheret, and you could be over 4, 5, or 6 Isurim, and then get 4, 5, or 6 times Malkus, as the Gemara will explain right now. Omer Yudam, Hayman di Ochel Binisa de Bekarba. A person who eats Binisa is a worm, de Bekarba from cabbage, a cabbage worm. Malkinen lei, he gets Malkus, Mishum Sheretz, Asheretz, Ala Aretz, because he's eating up a Sheretz. This worm, as the status of a sheretz, he gets Malkus. How many times he gets Malkus, we'll see in the Gemara momentarily. And the Gemara says, Yehudi Ochel Binisa de Bekarba, the Nagdar of Yehuda, of Yehuda, in fact, gave him Malkus. Om Rabbayim.
Nagdar of Yehuda Malkus, he's in Babel.
Chweiss nicht. Don't know. Om Rabbayim. Ochel Putisa Loike Arba. If a person ate a Putisa, what is a putisa? Says Rashi, this happens to be a sheretz hamayim. It doesn't explain what sheretz hamayim it is, but it's some sort of aquatic or water bug that he ate. He gets 4 times Malkus. So what's the reason why you get Malkus, or 4 times Malkus? So Rashi goes through a number of psukim. Bottom line is, sheretz hamayim, you have one pasuk in this week's parasha, Parasha Shmini, and then you have another one in Devarim, in Parshas Re'ei, saying that if it doesn't have anything that has snapper for kaskeses, yichel. Because she ain't loy snapper for kaskeses, b'mayim, loy sechem. So therefore you have 2 lavin on shirotzim that grow in the water, that's 2. Besides that, says Rashi, any and every sheretz, regardless whether it's a sheretz ha'mayim, or sheretz ha'oretz, sheretz ha'oif, There are two generic isurim. One is al tishaktu es nafshi seichem b'chol asheretz hashoyreitz v'lo yisitamu behem. So al tishaktu, by consuming a sheketz, a sheretz, v'lo yisitamu behem, you're not to be metame by eating them, and you're metame just by going and putting it into your mouth and touching it. So these are two additional lavin, which apply across the board, sheretz amayim, sheretz aretz, sheretz oif.
Touching and eating it?
I'm sorry?
If it's dead, touching and eating it?
Yeah, the touching itself is not the isur. Of course, if you touch a dead sheretz, then you become tamei. If you touch a live sheretz, it's ekeldik. Ekeldik means that it's very repugnant. But you do not become tamei, and you're not oiver an isur. The only isur that you're oiver is if you go and eat the sheretz. Then you're oiver two isurim al teshaktus nafshi seichem, v'lo yisitamu behem. Those are two isurim. So we have now four isurim altogether by this putisa, because you have two al sheretz amayim, and two because of generic sheretz, any sheretz, regardless where the sheretz happens to be, al amayim, al oretz, you're over if you eat them. So that's four altogether, which means that you would go, if you had four times hasra, the person is about to eat the putisa, the two edim come and say, hey, you know, you're eating a sheretz amayim, you're going to be over four separate isurim. He says, I don't care. You're going to get four times Malkus. I don't care. He gets four times Malkus. If he eats a Namala, and Namala is an ant, then like a Chumash, then you get five. Bishim Sheretz, Asheretz, Ala Aretz. What's the reason why? Five? The two generic ones that we spoke about a moment ago, Al Teshachs and Nafshe Seichem, Velisitam Abem. In addition to that, says Rashi, there's three times in the Torah which says that you're now going to go and eat a Sheretz, Asheretz, Ala Aretz. This is not a water bug, this is a land Nmala, and if you chayev five, tzira is a hornet like a sheish, mishem sheretz a oif. So Rashi says every tzira is also a sheretz a aretz because it doesn't fly at all times. It comes down for a landing from time to time. So since it creeps ala aretz, it has the same status like the nmala where there's five. In addition to that, since it also flies, there's also a special iser for sheretz a oif. B'chol sheretz a oif tamiu lechem lo yechem. So you got six altogether. Mishum Sheretz Oif. With this, we have concluded Abaye. We're going to come back to the Namola in another couple of minutes. Omer Abachoy, Hamishayas, the Kov of Oiv Mishum Loi Teshaktsu. Since we had this Pasuk Al Teshaktsu as Nafshi Seichem, even though we're talking about a different Teshaktsu, here we're talking about a person who is holding himself back. He needs to urinate or to defecate, and he holds it back, and he holds it back, and he holds it back. Eventually, is over on the dinner about the shatz. Omer Bibi Barabaya, Haiman the Shosi, Bekarna the Umna of Mishum Baltashatzu. What is a Karna the Umna? We have frequently in Shas, Uman was a blood letter, and he had a special container, a Karna the Umna, that he used for his bloodletting. If somebody says, I want to take a drink of water, I can't find a plastic cup, I'm going to borrow this Karna the Umna and drink water from it. He's over in Baltashatzu because, ugh, that's detesting, that's a repugnant, it's but kedish. See, over on that,
but it's also mishum dam.
It's so man, it's clean. There's no so damage.
In the case of the wasp or the hornet.
Yes.
If you can say why, it's also over menachai. If you have seven, you can have also a seventh one.
Is there a din of over menachai by shrotzim?
It's a living thing.
That's for sure, but that doesn't mean that there's a din of over menachai. We'd have to go and explore that a little bit further. But okay. In the meantime, our Gemara is only going to the Shrotzim halachas and not the Eivim Menachai halachas. What happens if he eats it on Shabbos and maybe he's Moitzi Dam? He might be Oivernis of that too.
That's a time dependent. I'm saying it's the same action.
I understand. I don't know that Eivim Menachai applies to Shrotzim. I'm not saying definitively not, but I don't think so. But getting back to our Gemara, so he's going to be Oiver on Baal Teshaktsu on the Shosh of the Karnavi Umna. Omer Rava Bar Rav Huna. We go back to, and there's another year, some Rav Rav Huna. Zokta Risek Tishan Amolim Vehevi Echad Chai Veshliman Lekazayis Loike Vav. Person initially ate nine, well, not initially ate. He initially took nine Namolim and he Risek. Risek means that he killed them and mashed them up into a mash of sorts. And now he added one more Lebedik Namolah. The first nine together was just short of a kezayis. It was only 0.9 of a kezayis. And now that he adds this leibedik in the mala and he eats it together, now we have a full kezayis. Loikibab, now he gets six times malchus. Why six? Hey, Mishom, Beria. Beria meaning the five that we spoke about before. Remember a few lines ago, Abaye said, Nemala loike chamesh. So he gets those five. The Echamishim Kazayas Nevela. And now, since they're all dead, now he's eating a Nevela. Don't think a Nevela only applies to a Behemur Chaya, it even applies to Shratim. So until now, we were talking about that he ate a Beria of a Nemala. Then you would be chayiv on the five, because he ate a full beria. You don't have to have a shir kezayis when you're talking about a beria. However, since those nine were all mashed and hashed together, there was no living namala, so you're only over if you eat a kezayis. Oh, he ate the sixth one together with it, and now we have a kezayis. So why are we talking about mishim kezayis nevela? Says Rashi, because when you eat the beria, guess what happens? It's going to die as a result of the chewing. So now we have a full kezayis. That full kezayis will be the five that we had before. And now one more, al tzadeilis, we have six malchus altogether. Rabbam Rabbi Yochanan fel shnayim v'hu. You don't have to talk about nine plus one. Even two plus one. Two dead, resek, and one lebedika. Rabbi Yosef Amar fel echad v'hu. Even one plus one. Are they arguing? It depends on the size of your ants. For those of you that have ever come across ants, as you know, sometimes you have these little tiny ants. You have to take 100 of them to get a kezayis. And then you have sometimes these carpenter ants, which sometimes look, which are carpenter, real big. So with one or two alone, you might already have a kezayis. It really depends on the size. Toysis points out, once you're saying that, why don't you just say you ate one large ant which had the size of a kezayis? You don't have to say 2 plus 1 and 1 plus 1. He ate a full, big ant. Says Toysis, yes, that's possible, but it is so rare to find one ant which is so large that it would have a full share of kezayis. That was always say at least 2 or 3 or more until you mitzarev to a full kezayis. Okay, finally, Uncle Tevu Masa Rishon, Omer Rav. So it said in our Mishnah, if you ate Masa Rishon, Shloi Nitla Trum Masai, you have Masa Rishon, that you didn't give Trumas Meiser, you're over on the din of eating Tevel. Not over on the din of eating Masa Rishon. Masa Rishon is Mutal Azar. There's one cheater, a mayor, that says that it's also the Yisrael. But we don't hold that way. We hold that Masa Rishon is Mutter across the board. To Aliyin, so the only problem would be if he didn't give Trumas Meiser, then has the status of Tevel. And that's what our Mishnah said. If you give him Hasra for Malkus, and you give him Malkus, then he would get the Malkus on that. Omer Rav, the same thing applies, Ochel Tevel Shemaser, Ani is Loike. What does that mean? You had Tevel, you gave Truma, you took away the Maser Rishon, and now it's one of the Maser Ani years, year 3, year 6, so there's no Maser Sheni, you have to give Maser Ani. But you were not mafrish the meiser ani. So it's tevel in the sense that although truma was given and maser rishon was given, but the maser ani is still embedded in that tevel. It's tevel, and if you eat it and you give malk, if you give the hasra, like it.
Great to Hold on, who's supposed to give truma's meiser? The levy gives because he gets it. The ani gets meiser ani. He has to be mafrish truma for meiser ani? This is kind of unusual.
Barry, those are not the facts. The facts are you have a farmer or a purchaser of tevel, and we tell him the din is you have to give three tithes. He gave the truma, mazel tov. He gave the maser rishon, great, but he did not give the maser ani. The maser ani is still embedded in the original tevel. And now the person made a bracha and he ate it. It's not a bracha, it's a brach. What he did was catastrophic because he's eaten now tevel. A person who eats tevel without tasra, misa b'dei shemoyim. What happens if they gave masra, mister, this is tevel. What do you mean it's tevel? I gave my trum already. It's tevel. I gave my maser rishon already. It's tevel. Did you give him maser ani? No. Therefore it's tevel. If he gave masra, he gets malchus. Okay?
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Kiman ki haitana desayin, like the following brayse. Omer Rabbi Yosi, yochel lo yechayev. I would think that the din of tevel is only ela tevel shalihurim imenu kol ikar, that you didn't give any tithes, no hafroshes whatsoever. I mean, that's the poshut of pshat and tevel. What happens? Hurim imenu truma gdoyla vahurim imenu truma isa rishay. What happens if he gave the truma gdoyla? He just wasn't mafresh maisa rishay. Or he was mafresh maisa rishay maisa shayni. Vafil maisa oni. He gave the truma. He gave the maser rishon. The only thing he was not mafrich at was maser sheni, or even maser ani. How do you know it still has a status of tevel? Mean nayin. Talmud loyim. It says in the pasuk, "Yisuch alecha b'sherecha maser gun for doyshu b'sherecha." Olalonu oyim v'yachol b'sherecha v'savei. That's from at maser ani that you give it to the aniim. They can eat it everywhere. Malalon, just like v'yachol b'sherecha v'saveiu is maser ani. Afkan when it says "Yisuch alecha b'sherecha." What are we talking about? Afkan Meiser Oni. That you were not Mafresh Meiser Oni. It's still embedded in the Tevel. Therefore, you're over on the halacha of Tevel. Does everybody agree that if you fail to go and be Mafresh Meiser Oni, that it has the status of Tevel? Who are the Machloikis Tanoi? If you bought Dmai in the store, you normally have to be mafrish. You don't have to be mafrish your truma, because even the amiratzim were nemonim that they gave the truma. But you have to go and give meiser rishon, and you have to give meiser sheni, or in the third and the sixth you have to give meiser ani. Says Reb Elazar, no, by Dmai ain't tzarech likros is a shame amas ani shel Dmai. It's only Dmai. Dmai is only a suffix. You don't have to be mafrish the truma, the maser ani. Yeah, the Meiser Rishon, yes. The Meiser Sheni, yes, but not Meiser Oni. We'll see in a moment why Manishtan. No, Koyris Hashem, Ve'ein Tzarech LaHafrish. You are Koyris Hashem, in other words, you go and say, I have over here my remaining Kri, of this remaining heap of Tzvua, Betzvoinoi or Bedroimoi, I set aside 10% for Meiser Oni, but you don't have to actually be mafreshit biyadai. My la balkamivagi. What's the machloikis? Mar sava vadai toivloi. One man yama holds that if it's not dmai, if it's vadai, it's tevel. Since if it's vadi, it's tevel. If it's now it's dmai, ui, it's a suffix tevel. You better go and designate meiser ani. Mar sava vadai ain't a toivloi. No. Even though you gotta go and give meiser ani, but if you didn't, it does not have a din of tevel. And therefore, since it doesn't have a din of tevel, no, it's demai, it's only a suffix. You do not have to go and be koyreshe. Omli Abaye, says Abaye, on the surface what you're telling me makes sense. But ihochan miflegi bespeka liflegi bevadai. So why are they even having a machloikis lagabe suffix by demai? We should have a machloikis lagabe vadai, the very halacha that we were learning. And what is that? That what happens if a person had tevel? And he was not mafresh meiser ani. Does he get malchus or doesn't he get malchus? Wouldn't that be logical? Everybody agrees to what we said initially, that if you do not go and be mafresh meiser ani from your tevel, it is called tevel with a capital T, a capital test. It's real live tevel. So what's the machlekes? Just like they're not choshed on truma, they're not choshed on meiser oni of dmai. Why not? We're not talking about any isser attached to it. Meiser rishon, there's an isser attached to it, says Rashi, because you have to give the trumas meiser. Meiser sheni, there's an isser attached to it that you have to take it up to Yerushalayim. You can't eat it elsewhere. But Meiser Ani, you can eat anywhere. So he can be Koyrish Shem to the Meiser Ani. And then, if he doesn't give it to the Aniyim, he's a Gazlan. But he was Mafrish the Meiser Ani, and now the Tevel is no longer a Tevel. Now the Tevel is now Chulin, and you can go and eat it, no problem. Rabbanan Tzavri, Kim Trich Lei Milza. Even having to be Mafrish involves a certain degree of Tircha. What do I know? Who cares, Meiser Ani? Those Aniyim, they're all a bunch of Leidigers. They should all go and work. I don't want to give them the dum, blah, blah, blah. And he's not going to be Mafrish. Since he's not going to be Mafrish, that's why if you go and buy Tevel from an Amuritz, you have to give the Meiser Oni after all, according to Rabban. So Kuli Amamoida, that if you didn't give Meiser Oni, the food remains Tevel, 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 and therefore you better go Mimafresh everything, including the Meiser Oni. The Machlokes of Gabi Demai has nothing to do with that. Everybody holds its Tevel. The question is whether the Amoritz bother to be Mafresh the Meiser Oni. The first man, the Yama, says, why not? It's Mishka Grace Zachin. He calls the Meiser Oni and then he'll eat it himself. But the Meiser, he won't, there were no Isurim involved. While the second man, the Yama, the Chum, say, since it involves a certain degree of Tericha, he's not going to bother. You, the purchaser, you better go and give the Meiser Oni, even though it is divine. And with this, we'll stop, Rabbi Yisai. May it be continued tomorrow.